Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
So good evening. Yeah, it's been quite a day for allergies for me. I can't keep my nose from, my sinuses from running, so I'm going to have to stop and blow my nose here. Regardless of the medication I'm taking, so. Anyway, let's talk about, I think this is on. Oh. Continue on our Tools for Good Works, tool number 32. And it reads, if people curse you, do not curse them back, but bless them instead. The Latin reads, maledicentes se non re maledicere sed magis benedicere. It's a wonderful rhythm and rhyme, as Latin always tends to do. Maledicere is the Latin word translated here to curse, but it can also mean to abuse. And benedicere, as you might already know, means to bless or to speak well of or even to praise. Magis is an adverb, which means more. Here in this, the RB80 translated instead or rather. Bless them instead. But putting those words together, I translate it as, if people abuse you, do not return the abuse, but you should all the more bless them. Well, in our times, abuse of any sort seems to be more acknowledged than it has in the past. Unfortunately, some of this abuse is false, but nevertheless, there it is. And the press just reports it, and people are making allegations towards others all the time today, as we know. Well, how do we respond to behavior that is gravely morally evil? You know, when it's true abuse or true cursing, as it were. I remember I had the great opportunity to sit in a conference of the Jewish rabbi and Holocaust survivor, Eli Wiesel, years ago. He survived Auschwitz and Buchenwald, the two most notorious death camps in Poland. And he was there, obviously, when the Russians actually came in to liberate the death camp. And I remember his remark, the curses of the soldiers liberating our death camp upon seeing the hell, the horror that we lived in, those curses became our blessings. You might have to sit with that. But he's absolutely right, and I would agree with him. What does that mean? Well, we can't unpack all that tonight. You got to do some of your homework. But what is a curse? According to Webster's Dictionary, it's a prayer, an invocation for harm or injury to come upon someone or even on something, you know. And in the Old Testament, again, without unpacking the whole concept of cursing or lamentation, is more correctly probably what we should be calling the so-called cursing sections of the Psalms, or the other parts of the Old Testament where this occurs. But let's take just one example, and that's Psalm 129. Here, the psalmist is speaking of people who is oppressing. We'll assume it's a he, that are oppressing him. And the psalmist says, may these oppressors be put to shame. May these oppressors be like grass on the roof that withers. Now, many roofs were made of clay or dirt. And as we might know, on shallow ground, grass sprouts very quickly and just as quickly dries up, doesn't it, and dies. So, you know, this is strong language. And then he goes on to say, may these oppressors of mine, as they go out to reap in the fields, let them return empty-handed. They bring back nothing from their harvest, from their efforts, any food to, because pretty much in this era of 2,000 and 2,500, maybe 3,000 years ago, you ate what you raised. If you didn't raise it, you probably didn't eat it. And so if you didn't get any crop, you're going to face a famine as a society, which is something very foreign to us. And let's pray that it never does happen. And the psalmist goes on to say in 129, may these reapers be not blessed. And what does he mean by this? It was the customary greeting, you know, to say when you saw the reapers going out to the fields to harvest the crop, may the Lord bless you, meaning may you bring back a hundredfold or a bounty of fruits from your labors, as well as to nourish our people, our village, our society. In other words, the psalmist goes on to say, and sometimes we easily miss this not knowing the history of Psalm 129, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. That was the traditional Hebrew blessing on the reapers as they went out. And so the psalmist says, don't you say that to those oppressors of mine, because I don't want them to bring back anything to, you know, from that, from their labors. Well, it's strong language, isn't it? But I'm not going to go into the whole concept of cursing, lamentation in the Old Testament, but there's a lot more to it, so just don't write off this psalmist as a bad man who was very uncharitable, because there's more to it. But let's go to the New Testament where we can get a better grasp on things. Both in the Sermon on the Plain of St. Luke and St. Paul in his letter to the Romans say this, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. And even the first letter of Peter 3, verse 9, adds a nuance to that, which was written probably, was written much later than Paul's letter in the Gospel of Luke, perhaps 50 years, maybe even longer after that. Do not return evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, a blessing, because to this you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. So that's where St. Peter adds the nuance. Just bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. But he adds that nuance. To bless is part of your Christian vocation. We talked a little about that the other night, some other chapter recently. To bless is part of our Christian vocation, and that in itself merits a blessing for us. And what is that blessing that we merit? It's eternal life. So suddenly, this is very, very significant and important, more than just a social relationship, as good as that is. at stake is our redemption in this. Well, we go to chapter 25 of the Rule of Saint Benedict, entitled Serious Faults. It's about the penal code, about excommunication, which again is another whole series of talks I'd like to give someday, just what this excommunication is all about, because it can be easily misunderstood even by monks. But in verse 6, Benedict says this: the brother who's being excommunicated for a grave fault should not be blessed, nor the food given him be blessed. Okay, now you say, oh boy, St. Benedict's missing then this whole thing of the gospel, and I can't follow the rule then. But that's not what St. Benedict's saying. The absence of a blessing here towards the excommunicated brother who doesn't get blessed and his food doesn't get blessed, it doesn't imply that this is a curse. Because later on in chapter 63, verse 15 of the rule, community rank, St. Benedict says, asking and giving a blessing is a rite, R-I-T-E, which brothers are instructed to perform when they meet one another. As you know, so when we meet one another, we are to greet one another. And all, I mean, all just as a little nod of the head or something like that, you know. But that in itself is a blessing. So when a monk is excommunicated, these words of blessing St. Benedict wants to convey are not to be taken for granted, but become all the more significant that this is withheld from the brother who has committed, you know, whatever it is that calls for excommunication. Basically a hardness of heart and a refusal to enter into metanoia, or, you know, conversion. So, to refrain from a blessing in the context of chapter 25 of the rule is a remedy, not a curse, a remedy to bring my wayward brother, or maybe my own self, back into communion with the community, with the brothers. And in fact, again, in chapter 40 of the rule, the proper amount of drink, verse 8 says, Benedict says that the proper attitude of monks is to bless God and not grumble. So here we kind of have a whole layout in the Rule of St. Benedict in chapters that you might think have nothing to do with specifically blessing or cursing, or having anything to do with interpersonal relationships. But in actual fact, the whole rule is full of these nuanced verses that are far more extensive than, in this case, just the proper amount of drink, so that you don't get drunk or something like that. Here, he says, and you can almost miss it, the proper attitude for you and I, following the rule of St. Benedict, and for, as monks, Christian monks, is to bless God and not grumble. And that grumbling can be interpreted as cursing, as abuse. So suddenly, all those temptations to grumble, and I'm a good grumbler sometimes, suddenly that makes things very different, you know? I got to better practice more vigilance. So in conclusion, it's not enough to refrain from returning a curse with a curse, but rather a blessing is necessary. And we recall from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, the parable of the unclean spirit. He gets cast out. He comes back and he finds the house empty. He finds the life, the heart of the person empty. A vacuum, we call it. And so what does he do? He fills it with seven more demons worse than itself. So that's the role of blessing. It fills me. So to bless another who abuses or curses me is, again, not to condone the cursing or the abuse. Rather, the blessing protects me if I'm the one being cursed. Because the blessing fills me and blocks the emptiness of this demon of cursing that's attempting to enter again into my house. The blessing fills me, the victim, if you want to put it that way, and limits my hate and revenge that wells up in my heart. Again, think of Cain after he murders his brother Abel in the book of Genesis. And God puts a mark of protection, a blessing on Cain to protect him from further violence. You know, again, that's kind of an odd story. And again, it calls for a lot of meditation on it, Lectio Divina. But the blessing provides the victim, in this case we could say Cain, the way out of abuse. So to address the abuse. So it's not being blind and being naive and living in a fantasy, but it's acknowledging by the blessing that I can address, as according to the Holy Spirit's work within me, the situation, I can address the abuse. So the blessing provides healing rather than me, the victim, being consumed by further hate, cursing, or abuse. Hence, I think this is part of the story, or the story of Cain, right in the early part of the Bible, and how he suddenly becomes a kind of blessing to work through the hate, the anger. Because, as we know, psychologically, those who are abused become abusers. That's the tragedy. If people curse you, do not curse them back, but bless them instead. Or rather, in my translation, if people abuse you, do not return the abuse, but all the more bless those who abuse you. Powerful stuff, isn't it?